The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are back in the studio for the second straight Saturday, and it feels good, and I'm happy to be here. And not only that, I deduced this morning on the way in that there are probably only two kinds of people in the world. You know what kinds those are?
No.
The ones that live in the First Coast and the ones that wish they did.
It is pretty nice for the second weekend
day
in a row.
Day after day, isn't it?
About the second or third month in a row, I think it's been.
Yeah. You know, one of these days you'll walk outside, get the newspaper in the morning or whatever you're doing, and that cloak of
wet, humid air.
Yeah, here we go. But till then, every day is a winner. I love it. Speaking of winners, we had a couple of them this week, but overall it didn't work out that way. But we'll get to that. Anyway, to the regulars, welcome back. Thanks for always being here. You're the reason we do this, of course. For the new people, if you are just happen to have it on the channel at this time and you're driving around or whatever, stick around if you can. You'll learn something. We talk about everything financial, and we don't deviate very much, and hopefully we won't bore anybody. But if there's something you want to talk about, it's the easiest thing in the world. Pick up the phone, dial 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. And when it comes in, Alan will put your name up on my screen and we will go to you immediately because callers have priority on this show and always have for well into our sixth year now.
Also, speaking of winners, we finally got back in the office this week and sent out all the cards to our previous trivia winners. So thank you to Ken Bales for getting us those cards and finally got back in the office, which was a nice change of pace. And we are officially back open for business. We haven't ever closed, but we were working remotely, and now we are not. So if you are feeling comfortable with being around a very small group of other people and would like to schedule a meeting with us, you now can.
How?
Well, the easiest way is to go online to our website, vanweefinancial.com, and click on Book a Meeting. And there you will find several options of different types of meetings and ways to do it. And that's the easiest way.
I know a lot of people out there have been putting off doing things like that. But the one thing you never have to worry about in our office is mingling with crowds of more than 10.
No, definitely not.
If you look up small business in the dictionary, I think there's a picture of our office in it.
Yep, and we are sanitizing and wiping everything down between meetings. So we will be extremely safe and have your safety in mind should you care to come join us.
Yeah. So if you I have a little article right here. It says, unhappy with your investment philosophy right now. If that pertains to you, I got a really good solution for it. Come see us. We'll tell you what we think. And it won't cost you anything. First hour is always free.
That's correct.
So there. Anyway, this week in the market, I always like to look for a word to describe it. And although it was down, my word for the week is relief.
A little bit. Remember how last week I said the theme of the week was positive? Well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that was not the theme at all.
Oogly.
Yeah, but that flipped on Thursday. We actually saw an 800-point swing to the upside on the Dow. On Thursday, it was down significantly in the morning. By afternoon, we had a really nice gain. Not too often you see that happen with that. Well, actually, that's not true. This year, it's been pretty common.
Year, yeah. Prior to lately.
Yeah,
is
prior to lately. Goes, yeah, it's not very common to see that wild swing in the Dow, but we did see it this week, and for once it was in the right direction, so that was nice. We did manage to erase some of the gains of last week, though, leaving the month pretty flat overall. NASDAQ still up for the month and even for the year, which is still surprising me every time I say it.
We have regained its spot. It lost it this week.
The Dow has struggled a bit, though, losing 2.7% this month, and it's down 17% on the year, which is by far the biggest, of the major indexes, that's by far the biggest loss. The S&P is right in the middle, but we have a caller. Have a caller. Never mind.
It's not one we have to take. Thank you.
All right. So the S&P is right in the middle of that. It's down 1.7% this month and 11.4% on the year. That's probably the best gauge of where the market really is. If you look at small caps, they're down more. The Dow, those large caps are down more. But everything else is kind of in the middle, with tech on the high side and financials and energy on the low side. So, it's really kind of all over the place this year. There's a lot of disparity between the winners and the losers right now.
Yeah, did you see what NVIDIA did?
I saw that it reached an all-time high, I think. Yeah.
That's one of the indicators in the semiconductor.
Oh, now we do have a call. Okay. All right.
We'll come back. Good morning, Don.
Hey.
What's up?
You remember the last two or three months I've been calling you, telling you about all this money they're spending in Washington?
Yeah, yes, sir, we do.
Well, golly, Bob.
Just when you think you can't get any worse, right?
Say no more. We're going to talk about that in a bit, Don. Yeah. The $3 trillion.
3.12 or something like that.
Package that they just proposed on Friday. And we have a lot to say about it.
You know, if I was a member of Congress, what I'd do the next time they had a session, I'd just get up out of my chair, I'd walk over there and pick up the phone, and I wouldn't call Nancy Pelosi. I'd just pick her up out of the chair, kick her in the ass.
And I believe...
What's the matter with that woman? Don't you know that $1 trillion is a lot of money for poor people?
No doubt about it.
I believe you would, and I believe she could use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just her. She's the figurehead, but they're all just as crazy as her.
Stay tuned. We will be talking more about it, and you're absolutely right.
Hey, my father used to tell me they're talking about 50 cent now. Guess what they're doing now? They're talking $1 trillion a shot. Yeah. They ain't going 1 trillion. They're going.
Yep, they're absolutely right.
They're growing it.
I'm mad about it, and I'm mad about it. I want you to know.
Well, let's see what the Republicans can do if they stand up to her. That's our only hope.
Yep.
Well, not our only hope. Trump will veto it anyway.
Yeah, if it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Absolutely. All right, Don, we appreciate it. You have a good weekend.
Bye.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Yeah, we'll
but
get there. You can't ignore that if you're doing a financial show.
No, it's crazy. Some of it badly needed, other parts just complete pie in the sky. I don't even know what to say about it.
Yeah, it does beg one question. What constitutes a quorum? 20 people in the chamber? That's how they did it.
Yeah, I mean, jeez. It's more like a wish list than a bill.
Much more like it.
Yeah. Anyways, this quarter, all three indexes. Oh, no, that's not correct. What did I mean to say there? Sorry. I started in the middle of my sentence.
I was getting him over-optimistic, I guess.
This quarter, everything's pretty much flat it's up a little bit. This month, everything is pretty much flat. Yeah. But last quarter or last month, we were up. It was one of the best months on record in the market. So this little bit of a pullback here doesn't bother me at all. It's just, to me, it's just some consolidation. And I think the market could, if we open up in a safe, quick way, could be ready to make another leg higher.
Listening to Howard and Angela on the way in, and Howard was talking about some numbers out of the real estate market, and that inventories are shrinking, prices are not falling anymore, mortgage applications are up, people are out looking around, things are changing so quickly right now, and if you want to prove it yourself, just drive around a little bit.
I have a friend who owns a mortgage business, and he does closings all day. He's been as busy as he's ever been for the last 2 months.
It's not,
between refis and purchases.
Yeah. It's not all gloom and doom out there, although that's what you're hearing in the major media. But we'll try to stress the more pleasant parts of this whole thing through the day, while pointing out that there are still some things that are wrong out there and they have to be changed. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handyman, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized wave ventilation unit. Wave ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Hey, and we have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. An interesting thing happens to metals during times of uncertainty. Things like gold tend to perform rather well, and it has. It's up 13.6% year to date. Silver and gold, I kind of think of as a tandem, but it hasn't been working out that way.
They've been diverging a lot.
So silver is actually down 14% year to date. But here's the question. How much has it changed in the last 2 months? By what percentage has it changed and what direction in the last 2 months?
Okay.
And you will be surprised.
Now, is that 2 months? Is that really a month
today.
And a half? Or is it
nope,
2 months?
No, 2 months
from,
today.
2 months back from today.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Back to the market this week. One thing I wanted to ask you out of the clear blue sky. Think we're going to go to NERP?
No. I don't.
Good. And for those of you who don't know, ZIRP means zero interest rate, and NERP means negative interest rate. There's a feud going on now. Although Trump and Powell, the Fed Chairman Powell, are on much better terms than they have been for a long time, Trump wants to go negative, and Powell doesn't. And I'm not on Trump's side on this thing. No good can come of this.
I don't know if he actually means that. Or
he wants to be competitive with the world. That's his only argument.
Sometimes he just talks and just to hear himself talk, I think. I don't think he means that.
So what he's doing is setting the stage for no increases for a long time.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I think he's it just doesn't make any sense. There's no reason to go negative. It doesn't make sense on a financial, economic, or even just why would anyone want negative interest rates?
It doesn't project a positive image about our economic strength.
Correct.
That you have to pay
other people to take on your debt.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't buy it. I don't think we'll see it. I don't think that Jerome Powell is even really open to it from the comments he's made. I mean, if things get markedly worse, he would be open to it. But as of right now, I don't think he'll see a need for it.
Okay, so is there any reason, any tangible reason that we could support our claim that it doesn't help? Oh, I could think of one. Japan.
Yeah, well, years and years of...
Yeah. Oh, what, a couple of decades?
Yep.
And no good came of it.
No.
And Denmark, right before the pandemic hit, Denmark was fixing to raise their rate from -0.75% to zero.
Well, that's the other thing it does. It leaves you without any ammunition.
Yeah.
So you have no more tools to help your economy out. If this pandemic recession turns into a much longer, prolonged recession, what are you going to do?
You're going to sit there and wait longer? Well, that's what Japan did.
Yeah, they did.
And it didn't work.
For years and years and years.
Germany did the same things.
Stagflation and just all sorts of negative consequences.
If you can't project an image of strength, there's no one that's going to perceive strength in you.
Yeah, I hope we don't see it. But
no, I don't either. But I, you know, when I disagree with Trump rather openly, it's somewhat rare. But on this one, I stand directly opposed to what he's saying anyway.
So we mentioned the real estate being a sign that things are maybe returning to maybe not where we were in January and February, but getting back to more normal levels. But there are other signs out there as well. Apple Maps data showing that levels of requests for directions for car trips are almost back to normal levels. They peaked at just 6% under where they would be normally this time of year.
Sorry, airlines.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Walking trips are slightly behind that. They haven't gotten as high. The biggest down, the one that has not rebounded at all, really, is public transportation trips. People are scared to death to get on buses, trains. Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, those places, you think about the I'm still convinced that the New York subway was the number one cause of the cases in New York.
Well, there's a reason that 1% of the counties in America have 50% of the cases.
They all have mass transit,
well used. High density population.
Yeah. Another sign is that levels of pollution in LA are returning to normal for this time of year. So
good.
Yeah. I mean, but that's despite their pretty draconian levels of lockdown. I mean, Newsom and Garcetti, the mayor of LA, have not opened up at all. And in fact, they are saying that their shelter-in-place orders are going through August.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell them right now.
That's not going to work.
There's going to be riots.
Massive.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just not going to work. And there's really no justification for it in my mind. There, California's been hit about the same as Florida.
Yeah.
And so I don't get it.
Yeah, 38, 40 million people out there. What have they lost? 2,800 or something like that. I know it's a shame, but statistically, that's a walk in the park.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably equivalent or less than what the flu has done this year.
And especially if you stay away from the major cities.
Right.
And California is a rather large place.
And that's the other thing. They're using some of the same measures on the small towns in the Central Valley that they are on the coast. In the excuse me.
It's for you to say. Yeah, they're if you take out San Francisco, L.A., and San Diego, I'm not sure how big their problem is, but if you look at that, California is just another big mass of open land.
Yeah, and even LA County has not been hit that hard on a per capita basis. So really need to look at the numbers and compare to some of the other states that are opening up, and it's crazy.
But what Garcetti's doing to the business climate in L.A., man.
We saw that a little bit this week with Elon Musk and his threats to move Tesla manufacturing out of California and to Texas. And
don't mess with Elon.
I kind of believe that he might do it.
Oh, he would do it.
Yeah. That'd be a huge loss for California. And
wouldn't it?
We'll see what happens.
10,000 people at his headquarters. And they're engineers and people like that. Imagine the payroll.
Yeah.
That would walk out of that state if Musk moves his headquarters and at least one manufacturing facility.
Right.
Man, you've got to be some kind of dumb.
Plus, just the California has a reputation of being the tech center of the world, and to lose something like that would be just a blow to their egos, which I don't blame them.
See the people in South Texas where SpaceX has a facility standing there with open arms.
Oh, for sure.
Come on, Elon. We love you in South Texas. That would make my day.
So one of the big things I was looking forward to this week was the Small Business Optimism Survey, and it was not as bad as it was projected to be. The expected decline was down to 83. Actual decline was much smaller, only went down to 90.9, which is still a pretty bad number, below 100, but not nearly as big a drop as what was projected. The interesting thing was that for as long as Trump's been in office, for the entire Obama administration, the number one problem facing small businesses was red tape, government red tape, and things and regulations. And then with when Trump got in office, it started to decline, and the things that increased were finding quality labor. Mm-hmm. Well, not so much this month. This month it was poor sales, which we have never seen since we've been doing this show.
Yeah.
So that was a big switch that was interesting, and it also makes sense given the current climate. And one other interesting thing was that optimism, they pull on different things. Optimism dropped pretty substantially, but the outlook for business conditions surged.
Yeah, so that was actually very positive.
So right now small business owners are saying things are terrible now, but we expect that once these conditions are all lifted, all the lockdowns, that things will come back pretty strong.
Yeah, so, one of the major but not talked about all that much headlines was look where oil closed this week.
Yeah, substantially higher.
Just it has to lift its head just a little more, and it'll be right at the 30 mark.
Yeah,
that is up sharply.
Definitely from negative 37 not that long ago.
Supplies at both levels, the crude and the refined supplies, dropped unexpectedly, is the term that economists like to use. And we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks with the increase in traffic. Of course, use is going way up. There's people on the road, and they're going everywhere, and we're coming into summer driving season. And as you said, the Google searches on driving destinations indicate that it's going to be a very busy time on the nation's roads.
Yep. So, I saw a survey that said one-third of Americans plan to take a road trip somewhere this summer, despite the virus.
Over 100 million people.
Yep. So pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Retail sales took a little bit of a hit last month. I don't know if you noticed that.
At the bricks and mortar level, the online did well.
The only category that increased was online sales, and it went up 8%. That was the second largest gain on record.
Oh, and who's the richest man in America now?
Yeah, after giving away half. The second best category was building materials, and that only, quote-unquote, declined 3.4%. Almost every other category declined by the largest amount ever in the history of the report. So you can... It's pretty amazing. In the last 2 months, retail sales have declined 23%. I mean, almost a quarter of retail sales vanished, and that includes online sales.
Now, some of that is in category A, and some of it is in category B. Some of it is just lost sales, period.
Some of it is deferred.
But some of it is postponed.
Some. Yeah. Because of the decline, online sales now make up just under 20% of all sales. So of everything that we buy, one-fifth of it is coming from online right now.
I know it is in my house.
I would say closer to 80-90% in our house.
At our place, we don't do grocery delivery because we have the luxury of time to go out and actually shop. And it's fun. I like going there. But despite that, I notice a lot of my little trips that I would make and drop in to get a thing or two at Target, things like that. I'm doing all those things online now.
Yeah.
Come to your door, why not? So it was not to be changed back either. In fact, I have a couple of things I want to talk about after the break. I want to talk about the payroll tax holiday proposal and another one that I call the evolution of work in the year 2020 and beyond. And the evolution of work is going to be extremely interesting because some of the stuff, like we were just talking about, isn't going to change back over time. A lot of these are permanent. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. $3 trillion, that's the size of a coronavirus relief bill passed yesterday by the House of Representatives by a Democrat majority, even though several voted against it. Republicans say it has no chance of passing in the GOP-controlled Senate, and then it contains billions and billions of dollars for things that are completely unrelated to the coronavirus pandemic. India's infection cases have now surpassed China's. The health ministry today reporting a spike to 85,940 cases in India and 2,752 deaths in China. There have been 4,633 deaths so far. More construction, manufacturing, and curbside retail pickups have begun in parts of New York State. Shuttered sectors of the economy started reopening slowly on Friday in a wide strip down the middle of the state that was largely spared from the brunt of the outbreak. This is SRN News.
A coronavirus update brought to you by Tools for a Time on Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. It's time to get fit, Florida. Governor DeSantis says gyms and fitness centers can open starting Monday. Mandated social distancing and sanitation must be maintained. Also, retail and restaurants will be able to bump up to 50% capacity starting Monday. After reviewing the state and federal guidelines for opening, St. John's Summer Camp Program has decided to cancel for this summer. They are reviewing alternative program options for later in the summer. CVS announced a new drive-through COVID-19 testing site at their store on Duval Station Road. You must make an appointment, but this is the first of what CVS says will be thousands of testing sites across the country. Thank you for what you're doing to help stem the spread of this virus. Keep listening for more updates.
Are you still waiting on your stimulus check? Create your own stimulus with a turnkey business package from Tools for a Time. For 25 years, Tools for a Time has helped people achieve the dream of being their own boss with commercial landscape packages powered by Exmark. Exmark mowers are the most trusted brand in the industry and proudly built right here in America. Now is the best time to buy with rebates up to $1,000 off and 0% financing with no payments for 120 days. Let Tools for a Time and Exmark get you back to work today. Online at toolsforatime.com.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
At Community Hospice and Palliative Care, we are the people who care. Licensed in the state of Florida since 1979, our people have cared for over 200,000 patients and their families. Every day, the people of Community Hospice and Palliative Care provide compassionate care to over 1,000 patients in 16 counties across North Florida. We are community, the people who care. Learn more about our care at communityhospice.com. That's communityhospice.com.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
There will be a slight chance of rain through Monday night. Mostly sunny days and breezy. Highs in about 85, 92 on Monday. Then partly cloudy nights with lows around 70. Looking for about a 50% chance of rain Tuesday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. Highs during the day about 85. Nighttime lows around 65.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we have a trivia question still open, and it is: although gold is doing very well this year, silver has not. It's down 14% year to date. But what has been, and I'm embedding a hint in here for you all, what has been the increase in silver over the last 2 months, percentage-wise? And I think you'll be quite surprised, actually. I was. All right. Every time things aren't good in the general economy, among the population, Washington has this obsessive need to, quote, do something. We saw that this week, especially when Nancy Pelosi brought her own handwritten version of Break the Bank and took it to Washington and snuck it through with the a vote of people that weren't legally able to vote for it because they weren't there, and that's another story altogether. But 3.1 trillion and change, and it has some things in it that look suspiciously like pension bailouts for states that have been poorly run for for years and years and years, that sort of thing. Now, naturally, if you're going to spend $3.1 billion, there are going to be some happy people, and there are going to be some happy people on each side of whatever happens, but there's going to be a lot of unhappy people because they're not on the other side of the things. I'm getting complicated. In other words, there's a lot to love and a lot to hate. The problem itself is the bill, but she's trying to do some social things. And one of the big ones that she's looking at is the repeal of the $10,000 limit on state and local taxes, which is hurting the big states like California, New York, New Jersey. So, of course, they're all in on this. The good news is they're voting the other way anyway, so who cares?
The biggest one, the biggest line item by far is the bailout for state and local governments. Mm-hmm. It is just under $900 billion in grants to defray fiscal impact from COVID. So,
yes, which will be, of course, applied to some things like pension contributions that they were unable to make because of COVID.
Right.
Everything's because of COVID.
Right, because has nothing to do with the fact that they negotiated terrible contracts and unable to fulfill them during normal times as well. But that's another story.
I stubbed my big toe this morning on a tile and I blamed COVID.
The good news for us as regular people, there is a big consumer stimulus portion. It's actually the second biggest line item. It's $350 billion, and that is $1,200 per adult, and now $1,200 per child as well, instead of $500 per child. So,
legal status being here or a citizen notwithstanding, the money goes to you.
Yeah. So I don't know if I agree with this entirely. I have no problem helping out people who are in need. A blanket cash payment to the entire world seems a bit extreme. I think that we should really target people that are without jobs, which we're already doing through the enhanced unemployment benefits. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even mind extending those, although I do think that at some point it will be a problem if people
it's
are
extended
making
extended to January in this bill.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that, except that in some cases it's more than people can make at their jobs, and they're not going to want to go back to work because of that.
One law they ought to put in there would be that no one could collect more by being on unemployment than they can by working their job that they lost.
Yeah, at least in the long term. For a month or so, I don't care.
Yeah,
a month or two even. Once the economy is open in your state, I feel like then that would be an applicable rule. There's $175 billion for public health funding and $100 for education funding. Grants to states and colleges.
They need it.
$100 billion to renters for eviction prevention grants. Now, that is something that might be needed.
Yeah, I'm willing to listen to that one.
Especially for people who rent from private owners and are unable to pay their rent, because that is if they can't pay their rent, the landlord can't pay his mortgage, you start getting
defaults. It's a trickle-down problem.
That could be turned into a massive problem if it's not addressed. So some of the stuff is good. Some of it's bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of all over the place. But the biggest thing is that grants to states, and that's going to be a real hang-up.
It comes back to the definition of stimulus. What is economic stimulus? There are basically two kinds of people when you get into this. One of them says government spending equals stimulus. They're basically the Keynesians of the old guard and the new guard. There are, unfortunately, new Keynesians, too. I think Obama said, well, what do you think stimulus is? And that was when he was doing his $871 billion pork-laden everything project. There, the shovels weren't even ready, much less the projects, that sort of thing. And it didn't, of course, do anything. But the other side of the stimulus argument involves putting money in people's pockets because they've earned it. And having more people working, as we saw, I don't know if anybody knows this. The first 6 months of this fiscal year that started October 1 last year and ended March 31 this year, the government had record revenues during that time, despite all the tax cutting and so on that went on, record revenues. Why? Because there were almost 160 million people going to work every day. Remember back following the fiscal crisis, the Great Recession as it's been known, they the Obama administration, implemented a program called the payroll tax holiday. And it is being proposed again. Even Trump is on board with the payroll tax holiday. And philosophically, I can't wrap my brain around doing this, and I'm going to tell you why. The net result, if I had to argue for it, the net result is that people have more money in their pockets right now. The effect on stimulus, the effect on spending is probably going to be positive. But philosophically, I cannot justify this. Back in 2011, and it was extended through 2012, the payroll tax, as they call it, and for those of you who don't know the term, that's that deduction you get for FICA, which is Social Security, and Medicare. And it adds up in your paycheck if you work for someone else to be 7.65%. You pay both sides of it, or 15.3%, if you are self-employed, as most of the people in this room are, 100% the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was a 2% reduction in that for about a year and a half under Obama. And I want to look at that a little bit. What they're talking about now, at least what some of them are talking about, any serious discussion, says cancel the payroll tax through the balance of 2020. That would put a lot of money in your pocket. It would put a lot of money in the employer's pocket. And yet, I'm against it. Why am I against it? Because Social Security and Medicare withholding are not federal taxes per se. They are insurance premiums, required insurance premiums, that get paid into the system for your later benefit. You no pay into Social Security, you no get Social Security. That's the way this thing works, folks. So what happens when that goes on holiday? Your contributions go on holiday. That means down the line, you're not going to get credit for the money you earned unless they flat out put it in there as a lie. Can they credit your account with fictitional money? Not under the rules. And again, they seem to mean less and less every day. But I believe that all you're doing is giving people the option to shoot themselves in the foot if you do this.
You're also accelerating the bankruptcy of the system.
That's coming up. So. Absolutely. The future retirees of America are going to have some serious problems they face with the combination right now of an underfunded system for both Social Security and Medicare. And we're going to have to face as a society whether we're going to get rid of the so-called trust fund method of funding these things. I know the trust fund is spent, but it's still there on paper. And just go to general revenues and commingle it all. And that is a slippery slope because insurances do not belong as part of the federal budget. So let's say we get into this thing. And there are some people down the line who fell a couple of quarters short. You have to have 40 quarters to be eligible. What if the last two quarters of this year, for some people, were to make the difference where they would not be eligible and they had no say-so in it? What do you think the government's going to do? Grandfather them right in there probably, right? Because that's the way things work around here. All right, I'm going to finish this after a quick break. There's a little bit more to be said about it, and it is a real controversial subject, at least for me, and that's just in my own head. I can argue it back and forth all day long. And I will probably for another few minutes. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. We'll be right back.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999. Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handyman, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Let's get back to the Vanwee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Vanwee.
Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. He provides a very essential service in these days where nobody really wants to own a lawnmower. I speak for everybody on that. All right, trivia question is still open. Although silver is down 14% year-to-date, it's up over the last 2 months. By what percentage? All right, let's look back to one of the things that happened in the Obama administration with the first payroll tax holiday. After a year and a half, a little longer than a year and a half, it should come as no surprise to anyone that when the 2% was restored in January of 2013, there was quite a backlash.
Yeah, it was bad.
People got used to spending that money.
They were ticked off.
And it was gone. And they viewed it as a tax increase. And it wasn't. It was a tax restoration, not a tax increase.
And that was inevitable. That didn't matter who was in the White House. It was going to happen.
When it goes on and on and on, quarter after quarter, paycheck after paycheck, then, of course, people are going to notice it when it comes back. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. How you doing, gentlemen?
Wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing great. Quickie on the trivia.
Yeah.
27.5.
Too low.
Ooh, I am surprised.
Quite a change, huh?
Okay, I'm surprised.
I'm not surprised that you're surprised. I told you it was a biggie.
Ooh, I almost said more than that, but I thought, no, there's no way.
Well, you've set the bar for us. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Y'all be good.
You too. Good morning, Pat.
Hey there.
You looked it up.
No, I didn't.
Oh, darn it. Thought I'd catch you with your fingers in the cookie jar.
I did not realize you were looking for a percentage.
Yes.
So I'm just gonna guess.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's see. 32.
Too low.
Too low.
Amazing, isn't it?
I will look it up now. Okay.
All right. Okay. Check the graph on the symbol SLV and you'll get it.
Okie doke. Thanks.
Thanks, Pat. Have a good one. That's kind of funny, but I love these questions that are so startling that I got surprised when I looked it up.
Yeah, I would not have guessed that.
No, it's quite incredible. But anyway, there was a very severe backlash among working America when the 2% went back on, and I don't know that long run it made all that much difference, but I'll promise you one thing. You take away a 7.65% deduction off of everybody's paychecks for a few months, and come January when it's back on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And not just that, but if you're self-employed.
Oh, yeah, 15.3.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. You can only imagine. Well, this topic came to my mind about a week ago with a discussion between Rick Scott, the former governor, now senator from Florida, and is it Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York? And, you know, Cuomo's been on a lot complaining about everything in the world that he can complain about. And he accused Florida of being a taker. Excuse me for a moment.
Uh-oh.
Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
Wonderful. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
Good. What do you know?
I just figured I'd narrow the window a little bit. I'll just go at 35.
Too low.
Okay.
And I'm not making this up either.
That's great.
We appreciate
it. You guys are doing fine. Have a great day.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for the call. Cuomo said when he was complaining about all the money that we've spent in D.C., said, well, Florida's the takers. We pay $30 billion out to the federal government who sends that money to Florida. And you don't say things like that without capturing the rather intelligent mind that is embedded in that in the head of Mr. Scott, Senator Scott now, who made a very simple point to the governor. He said, Governor, people are trapped in your state while they're working. They have their jobs there, they can't get out, and they're paying exorbitant taxes. And the second they retire, they have the luxury of moving to Florida. All the time that they paid in New York, that extra $30 billion a year, came out of their payroll taxes, and it's coming back to Florida where they live now in the form of benefits.
But again, as we mentioned earlier, that's not
it's not a tax. Those are insurance payments made out and brought back, and Governor, it's not your money.
Yeah, it could go. They could live anywhere. They could live in wherever they chose to retire is where the money would go. And
it's their money. It's being doled out a piece at a time every month. It's their money.
But if you look at a balance sheet and an income statement for Florida versus New York, I know which one you would want to buy.
Yeah. that was the greatest smackdown in the last few weeks. Yeah, well, anyway, I'm against it again, but I thought that was a wonderful illustration. So everybody hates somebody who sits around and just complains about all the proposals that are going on and doesn't offer any constructive alternatives. So I have one. I have a good one. How about, in the way of economic stimulus, we look at capital gains? The buying and selling of everything from stocks to houses to any kind of possession, which might trigger capital gains, is a great amount of activity. And if you go back to the Clinton era, they convinced Clinton to reduce capital gains tax, and all of a sudden revenue shot way up. because people now sold things that they didn't want to sell at 35, 39, 40% tax. They sold them at 15% tax. That's the way it works out there, folks. How about this one? One of my long-held beliefs is that capital gains are a ripoff at any tax rate, so let's just go to zero. Okay, nobody's going to listen to me on that one. I understand that. That's my throwaway.
Yeah,
that's my opening.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
All right, so let's say we eliminate the 2.3% on investment tax gain. That's part of Obamacare. This should get repealed anyway. That's a more reasonable 15% for most people, mm-hmm. 20%. I'd like to keep it all at 15 or less. But the problem with capital gains is you buy something now, and down the line you sell it. The difference between what you bought it for and what you sold it for is the capital gain. But let's say, for instance, it's your home. Now, I know there's an exception for home. Let's say it's a piece of real estate that does not have a homestead exemption on it. So you bought a rental house 15 years ago, and you sold it today. You are going to pay tax on the gain in that house, much or all of which is most likely inflation.
That's true.
Yeah. Particularly in some arenas, such as the housing market and the real estate market in general. And to a degree, the stock market. If you got a stock you held for 10 years and you sell it, well, part of the reason the stock market is starting to look back into the at the 30,000 level is because numbers are just bigger. That's why we always say that the market loves inflation, because numbers get bigger. That means profits get bigger and the whole thing. So what if we indexed capital gains to inflation? You'd have a chart. I bought it in the year 2005 and sold it in the year 2020. You compute the gain, and then you plug in a number that is based on those 15 years of inflation, and that part becomes the non-taxable portion of this. Now, there, you're going to put some money in some people's pockets, big time. So it has been discussed. I've even heard Trump talk about it.
Yeah, the problem is
it's not being discussed.
It's the age-old argument of you're just benefiting the rich people. And so,
which is not true, because 60% of personal tax returns show capital gains on them, and the wealthy people in this country are not 60% of the tax-paying population.
Yeah, it's just that they are going to have a lot larger capital gains than people who don't have any wealth.
That is true. But
I'm just somewhere telling you what the argument's going to be. I don't think it's a bad idea.
We get them anyway through the so-called progressive tax system. They're going to pay a higher rate anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could leave the tax structure the way it is, I still think it should be brought down, but that's a discussion for another day. If we could leave everything the way it is and merely index all capital gains for inflation, imagine the amount of stimulus that would create among the people who have money. And let's face it, people who have money are the ones who can spend money. If you really want to look at a payroll tax holiday, I would invite anybody to give it a good solid comparison to my proposal for loosening the reins on your own personal economy by doing that. So think about it. Silver in the past couple months is up 38.6% and is still 14% down. I guess that sort of begs the real question. What in the heck was going on with silver?
Well, it's used in production, and when production stops, it loses some value.
Anticipated production must be going back up based on that, and that's another good sign. We'll see what happens next week. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.